Let's jump in. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 is where we're going to be spending the majority of our time. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. That is known as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer because the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he did. Well, if the disciples needed instruction on how to pray, I don't think anybody in here would say that they're an expert on that level. We all need reminders or the beginning steps on how to pray. It sometimes happens to me at events or even family gatherings, mostly at events, though, that someone will say, well, we should pray before our meal. And then everybody turns to me and somebody says, you're the professional, you pray. Folks, there's no such thing as a professional prayer. There's no professional words. There's not even really any right or wrong words. Really. Okay, you can take it down the rabbit trail. Maybe you can find out some things that you shouldn't pray. But what I'm trying to get at is that if you really want to talk to God, God wants you to talk to Him. And He's not worried if you sound like somebody else or your speech is really eloquent or, you know, some people just sound like great prayers. You've heard them, right? They pray and you just go, oh man, if I could just pray like that. And God is thinking, well, I'd kind of like to hear you pray like you. Because that's what touches His heart. So today, I want to take us back to when Jesus was with the disciples and the disciples said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, sure, I will. And He said, this is how you ought to do it. And I've got the words on the slides, but I'm sure most of us could recite this by memory, the Lord's Prayer. But let's go ahead and recite it together. This then is how you should pray. Come on, let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, this morning I pray that you would help us to engage with you every day. If the God of the universe says, I want to talk to you, I feel sometimes ashamed that I've taken that for granted. That sometimes I run around so quickly during my day, and at the end, oh, I forgot to talk to you, Lord. How could that be when the all-sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful God is there and available? Lord, forgive us for that complacent and casual attitude. At the same time, stir us today, Lord, just to come to you, just like we are. That's how you want to receive us. And help us to be motivated to pray more urgently, more deeply, and more with more hunger than before. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, let's get some practices today. What I want to tell you about is developing some practices and then developing a format in how you can pray using the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So just these are some basic principles, some good practices in developing your prayer life. Okay? We're going to get to the Lord's Prayer specifically in just a moment, but these are some good practices. Number one, develop a plan. Okay? It might seem kind of academic or even, kind of corporate, so you got to plan. Here's what I know about my life. If I don't plan to pray, that busyness and distractions and all kinds of things will cut on in me, and then pretty soon I realize I haven't prayed. Anybody else been that way? Distractions are just powerful, and they get you've got to plan. You have to figure out in your day, when are you going to spend time with the Lord? Now, I understand that there's nowhere in the Bible that it says you must pray every day, and if you don't, God is really, really mad at you. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But here's what I know about relationships. If you want to develop them, you have to communicate. If I just miss talking to my wife a day or 2 days or 3 days, how many know there's trouble looming? You know that because we're in a relationship. There's an expectation that we communicate. It's not, so it doesn't have to be commanded. My wife doesn't have to wake me up in the morning and say, I want you to know We have a period of hours today, and if you don't talk to me, you're dead meat. She doesn't have to say that. I know I'm dead meat if I ignore her all day. Okay, we get that. Why do we then just kind of think, well, God didn't come in. Does he have to? We're in a relationship with him. It's a given that we would want to talk to him. And so in so doing, that we really have to think about it and plan, because life is distracting. Long, many years ago, I started my plan out that I would start the day with the Lord. And I found out that I was spending a lot of time at night goofing around, watching late night TV, and then I was too tired to pray in the morning. And God really nailed me on that. Said, wait a minute, you got time to stay up and watch David Letterman? That used to be a talk show back in the day. You got time enough to watch that, and then you can't get up in the morning? Sounds like you don't have a morning time, you have a nighttime problem. So I started going to bed a little earlier. That gave me enough rest to get up earlier. And then God replaced Letterman. And it was a good trade-off. I got much more out of my prayer than I did David. We need to plan that way and find out how are we going to be most effective in our time with the Lord. So when will I pray? There's no biblical teaching. Jesus got up in the morning sometimes. Jesus stayed up late sometimes. Jesus went out to different places at different times of the day. And so there's no, this is the right time to pray. If you get up early, it doesn't make you any more holy than those who pray at a different time. My practice and the counsel that I always give people is choose a time without constraints and without anything competing against it. That's why for me the morning is better. Work life hasn't started yet. Even when we had kids in the home, I'd get up before the kids were even awake, because kids are distracting. They're beautiful and they're lovely, but they're distracting, because you got to help them and you have to do things and you have to get them ready and so on. So I would get up early. At night it was a distraction because I got too tired and I would just nod off much too easily. So for me, it was the morning time, and that was the time free of distractions and constraints. Really, the question is, what's your best time? What's your best time? When are you most alert? When are you most aware? When is your mind the sharpest? Why not give that time to God? Now you might say, Pastor, my best time is 11 a.m. and that's when I'm at work, and I don't have the ability just to tell the boss, I'm sorry, it's God's time, not yours. And your boss might say, well, it's my paycheck, not God's. You're out the door. We got to work this out, right? So you have to plan. What's the best time that's available for you that you can dig in and seek God? That's the best time for you. Now, I wouldn't advise doing it late at night when you're already tired. I wouldn't advise choosing a time that you know is that things are likely to come up. Okay, choose a time that will work for you. Say, but Pastor, I can't afford to spend that time in the morning, or I can't afford to spend that time at night. I can't afford. Listen, you can't afford not to. We're Christians. We must pray to develop a relationship with God. And we talked about the priorities last week. We can't afford not to pray. So step number one, when would you pray? Number two, well, where will I pray? Well, really, wherever you want. Pray where, there's no right way or wrong place to pray. I avoid the bed to pray. Maybe some of you like to pray at night and snuggle under your covers and pull out your Bible. And for me, I guarantee you, it's in 3 seconds. I'm a fast asleep, and I won't get any prayer time in. So I avoid cozy couches, and even in here. I pray here every day, actually. Right, literally here is where I start my day every morning at 7 a.m. But these chairs are kind of cushy. So I'll usually get on my knees because the floor is not nearly as cushy. I stay awake longer, or I'll pace around. So pick a place that's not too cozy, not too warm, not too likely to put you to sleep, and choose that place. Where am I at here? Lost my notes. Find a place that you're not likely to be interrupted. Get away from the phone. Say, well, my phone goes wherever I go. Well, put it somewhere else. Okay, put it away from you. Don't let the beep of the email prompt. I've got something else to do. Just get away from all that. Find a place that's free of distractions and interruptions. Well, how long should I pray? People ask this all the time. Well, is it okay if I only have a little bit of time or I have a lot of time? Well, here's what I know. If you start praying regularly every day, even if it's a short period, pretty soon you're going to want to pray more. Because that's the power of God. He'll draw you in. The relationship will get deeper. The relationship will get richer. And when you started out maybe praying only a few minutes, if you're consistent at that, pretty soon you'll be thinking, man, this is not enough. I want more of God. And that's what he wants too. And you'll start finding yourself praying longer and longer. Here's what I know about how long to pray. Pray until you've heard from God. Pray until you've heard from God. It might be just a little while and God goes just wham, and he just speaks to you, and it's powerful, and it's great, and it's rich. You may have to press in other mornings or other days a little longer and pray a little longer until you really felt that you've made connection with God. So don't put a time limit on it. And I know some of you may have time limits because you really do have other commitments that you have to be at. But if you can plan right, you can leave yourself a little margin so that you're not going to be pressed up against these really demanding things that you have in your life. But pray until you've heard from God. So those are three good steps in developing your plan. Number two, prepare to listen when you pray. Prayer isn't a one-way conversation. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Do you know God's voice? Some of us have a little bit more experience in building their relationship with God, and they could say, "I know God's voice when he talks to me." Others of us are maybe a little bit more younger in our faith or younger in our relationship with God, and we may not yet be at that place where we can really discern. As you pray, you'll start to recognize his voice more clearly. And it's awesome when you've heard people say, "Well, God told me," and you go, "God never told me anything." Well, that doesn't mean God's not talking, or it doesn't mean he doesn't like you, that he wants to talk to somebody else, but you, he's like, forget them. No, it's our being in tune. And it's learning how to develop that listening ear. And for me, I don't know about others that really can discern the Lord's voice. I've been a Christian for 40-something years. When I hear God's voice, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like my voice. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like, you know, James Earl Jones' voice or, you know, Liam Neeson from Aslan the Lion or whatever. It sounds like me. And I hear my own kind of thoughts reverberating in me, but I know that it's thoughts that I don't have. Sandra and I have heard God's voice many times. Now, to be honest, sometimes we thought we heard God's voice and it wasn't God's voice. And so that's why you really got to dig in and pray and confirm and really develop that relationship with God. How many have someone close to you that when they call you on the phone, it's the kind of, you can actually talk in that thing. You don't have to push a button and text each other. You can actually talk in it. And when you talk in it and you pick it up, the other person doesn't have to say their name. You just know who they are. How many people have a person like that? Okay, we pretty much all do, right? That's what God wants. He wants us to be able to say, "Hey, God," instead of, "Is that you? Are you really? No, that's not you. I think that's, really?" He wants us that communion as we go, God's talking. Okay, here's how you start learning God's voice. And that is read your Bible as you pray. This is God's word. He's talking to us. So that's why Bible reading and prayer always go together. Because this is God talking to us. And his word will help you develop a listening ear. You know right away that if you have this inclination in your spirit that it might be God, but you know God's word and what that voice is not consistent with God's word, then you know that ain't God. Right? How can he be inconsistent like that? So as you learn his word, you can already start to decipher what his voice is and what his voice isn't on a very, very basic level. Now, further on, you do really have to develop that listening ear and really learn what it sounds like to hear his voice. But read your Bible as you pray. Get a good Bible reading plan. There's a lot of them out there. And you know, I've used a ton of them over the years. Right now, I'm using Oswald Chambers. It's a great devotional, classic devotional, and I've just torn mine up. And I love, love, love where Oswald Chambers takes me in regard to interpreting some of the scripture. So this year, that's what I'm doing. Last year, I did our Bible First Lifestyle Plan. Get on a regular plan. Okay, get on a regular plan. A lot of the New Testament, or most of it, is letters. Isn't it weird if you were to read a love letter and you start out with, "Dear, your name," and then you jump to the end you know, XXOOXX, and then you're, and then you jump to the middle, and then you jump to the back. There's no continuity. So develop a plan so as you read, there's continuity. Okay? Because God's word is organized. Now, that doesn't mean you start in Genesis every time and read to the end of the Revelation. God's word is different than every other book, and that's not particularly necessary. But when you start a particular part, get in the habit of kind of reading it through so you get the context of what God is trying to say. And then number four, in this planning part, how can I pray without ceasing? A lot of us know that scripture in the New Testament where Paul says, pray without ceasing. And this is when your prayer starts to expand. We start out maybe learning how to be disciplined with a daily time, and we get regular with that. But God's intention is that we not compartmentalize our prayer. That we don't go in the morning, we close our eyes, we fold our hands, and we read our Bible verses, and we pray, and then we go, peace out, God, I'm off in the day, and the rest of the day, you don't even think about God. That's religion. That's checking the boxes. And God wants to have a relationship with us. So you start to developing the habit of realizing God is with you all the time. Some of my most cool moments are when I'm waiting in line at the checkout counter at the supermarket, where I'm there and there's just an impression. Maybe I'll notice somebody. Maybe there's a mom and a little child that's kind of having a rough time. And just right then and there, not out loud, but in my mind, I'll just begin to talk to God and say, God, just touch that lady. She seems like she's having a rough go. Just touch her. I don't know her, but you know her, and you died for her. Minister her, would you? I haven't got yet really praying without ceasing effectively with that kind of grace in traffic. I haven't got that mature yet where I'm praying for that person. Still, some of ungodliness comes out of my heart. But I'm working on that one. I'm working on that one. So you get what I'm saying, right? Throughout the day, things happen, and you begin to build a practice of being in the presence of God. Quick time out. We have some books available. They're little tiny short books written by a guy named Brother Lawrence, or it's about Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a Catholic monk, and he developed just an amazingly intimate life in the presence of God. And those are available for you. I think they're at the Welcome Center. I'm not sure. But it'd be a really good idea to pick that up and read about a person who really learned how to practice the presence of God no matter where he was. And you could be in really bad times. You could be in the midst of a terrible struggle. But because you're aware that God is with you, that then becomes a whole different scenario. It's not a, God, where are you? Where were you? I've been right here the whole time. It's just us recognizing that he's been there the whole time. And we practice that presence. So let's plan, okay? How many would say you have a pretty decent prayer plan, okay, on a regular basis? Okay, quite a few of you. Say the others are either embarrassed or you don't have one. So let's get that plan down. Let's start today. Okay, start today. Now it's Sunday. Maybe your good time is the morning. Just map it out on a piece of paper. On Monday, this looks like the best time for me, the best place for me, and how long I'm going to pray doesn't really matter, but I've got a bit of a margin at this period of time, and I'm going to start developing my prayer life. I'm going to leave a little bit of time to listen to God, and I'll read my Bible, and when I do, I'll listen to what the words are saying for God's voice, and that throughout the day, I want to be aware of you, God, and begin to develop that plan. Now, you might need some sticky notes or something to help you remember. Stick them in your car, stick them in your office, stick them somewhere to remind you. And it might say, you know, I'm with you, and you know that's God talking. Or he's here, or wherever it is, just to remind you you're in God's presence. Does that make sense? Okay, now let's develop a pattern then of prayer. Now we go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Let's develop a pattern of prayer. When Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount, he wasn't saying, I want you to pray these exact words every time you pray. Because that would be about a 15-second prayer, number one. And number two, he just got through saying in Matthew chapter 6, don't be like the pagans who babble and repeat the same words over and over and over again, and they use so many words. He says, that's not what I'm into. He says, just talk to me. So we know that this pattern, that's what it is, a pattern. not just say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, I'm done. Ding, ding, off to work. I prayed. That's not prayer. Jesus is giving us a pattern. Okay? So let's find out what the pattern is. First, a good practice is start adoring God. Start adoring God. The phrase there is, our Father. Say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's an adoration sentence. It is a, God, you're in heaven and you're holy. That's what hallowed means. You're holy. And then we can extrapolate from there. It's a really good way to start your prayer life with worship. And we talked last week, if a little worship music helps you, or you know, some other being in nature or some place where you can go, it's beautiful. Maybe it's a little easier than maybe stuck in a dank place somewhere. But start with worship. Start with telling God just how awesome he is. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him that this is a great day. Wouldn't it change your day if you started your day telling God, God, this is going to be a great day, even if tough things are ahead. I'm with you. How bad can it get? You know what I'm saying? It really changed our attitude as we start the day adoring God. What does adoration do for us? Well, it reminds us of the identity and purpose. Whoops, that's not right. Where are we at here? I jumped the part. That's right. It sets the tone. There we go. For the rest of your prayer. If you've got some really tough stuff to pray about, if you start with worship, it sets the tone. It gets your heart in the right place. And to be honest with you, these are good reminders for me. I found myself, when I was preparing for this teaching this morning, realizing I've been jumping right in to, God, this is what I need. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I need your help. I have decisions I need to make. God, I need this. And I can now hear God saying, whoa, time out. Why don't we just spend some time together before you jump down my throat with all your demands? I thought, man, I've been praying pretty rudely. I need to back up my attitude and start recognizing who God is and honor him and adore him and just appreciate him for who he is. Who wouldn't like that, right? When you come home from work and it's the first time you see your spouse after a long work day, isn't it better than to start throwing out demands to look at each other and say, so good to see you. I've missed you. It's been a long day. I'm so glad I'm home with you. Might that change your evening time? It's okay. Couples, you can say amen like that or something. It's all right. You guys are getting, I can see your eyes right now. You're going, oh, that'd be so nice. I wish my husband would do that. And all the husbands are going, I hate you, Pastor, right now. Set the tone for the rest of your prayer life. Number two, adoration, it reminds us of God's identity and the purpose for which we're praying. It reminds us, listen, we're talking to God here. We're not talking to some, genie in a bottle. We're talking to the Almighty God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the great sacrifice. He gave us his life. He went to the cross for us. How can we so flippantly address him? Come to him in a way that's proper and right. Now, that doesn't mean if you, don't know all the words, you can come to God. I've heard a guy pray who didn't know how to pray at all. He had no idea. And he was just kind of a normal guy. And he was just learning to say, God, dude, And I thought, dude, I wonder if God's bugged that you just called him dude. And, in that moment, knowing that who it came from, I don't think God was bugged at all. Now, realizing that if I called God dude, having been in a relationship with him for 40-something years, God might say, I think we're beyond that, aren't we? So you follow me, right? That God is not offended, but there's a way that we should come before the Lord. And it changes our realization of who he is, and it causes us to pray with a bit more honor and reverence when we adore him first. And the third bullet, it puts us in the right perspective before God. If I worship first and say, God, you hung the stars in the sky. By your word, the tides are in rhythm. By your word, this planet that we're spinning on at X, how many thousand miles an hour, we're not flying off of it because you keep us in place. and I start to adore God and recognize who He is, you know what? When I start to adore God that way, when I do get to the place where I need to ask Him for something, I've got greater faith because I just reminded myself I'm talking to the Creator. And it puts my mind in a whole different place and it causes me to pray with much more perspective. So let's start out adoring God. Tell Him how you think. Tell Him how much you love Him. Okay, number two, then we go to submission. Submission. When we adore God, we recognize God is big. God is mighty. God is strong. So then that automatically puts us in a place to submit. Let's say the next line. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the submission line. So we come to God and we say to Him, you're Lord. I'm not. Submission acknowledges that. Lord, you're the Creator, and I adore you. Because you're the Creator, you're God, and I'm not God. Therefore, I submit to you. I place your will above my will. Not my will, but yours. God, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to try to manipulate you. I'm not here to try to leverage you. What I'm here to do is to make my request known, share my heart with you, and then let you tell me what's best. Submission. Jesus gave us this prime example in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the deity and the humanity that Jesus was colliding. That He knew He was God, yet He was fully man as well. And He cried out, God, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. That's submission prayer. Because it's not about what I want at this moment, even though I really do not want to go. The cross is going to be horrible. I don't want to do it, but I will. Because you're God and I'm not God. We need to pray that way and pray submissively. God, I want your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. For me, that changes my selfishness in prayer. It redirects from my priority to God's priority. This is what I feel I want, Lord. This is what I think I need, but I know you know better. And I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. Submission prayer. So first, we adore God. Secondly, we come to Him and submit to Him. Number three, ask for what you need. Ask for what you need. Jesus said it. Let's say it together. Give us today our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's asking for what you need. It's okay to ask. In other parts of the scripture, it says this in Philippians 4:6. With thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Make your requests. It's okay. With a thankful heart. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, we have not because we ask not. It's okay. Ask. And even if you're not sure your ask is right, go ahead and ask anyway, and God will help you through it. It may seem like a perfectly good thing. Lord, this job opportunity seems so right. I'm asking you, Lord, this is what I'd like, but not my will, yours be done. God, help me to understand what the right decision is. This school to attend, Lord, this looks so good. This move seems so logical. Those are the things we need to hear from God. God, this is what I think I want. But help me to understand what you want. I adore you, Lord. And you're God and I'm not. And you know better. You know my tomorrow and I don't. This seems right, but it might not. Lord, help me to know. Go ahead and ask Him. It's okay. Sometimes we get embarrassed that we might ask the wrong thing. It's okay. Just ask and let God tell you whether it's right or wrong. Now, of course, if there are things that you already know are not right because you know God's word, don't bother asking. Okay, you're wasting your breath. He's not going to say yes to that. In a couple of weeks, we're going to get to the topic of the prayers that God answers and the prayers that He doesn't. So I don't want to get too far ahead of us on that one. But I just want you to know it's okay to go to God with your needs. And really, I don't think I have to say that much because that's probably what most of our prayer is like, is a lot of requests. And the other things are maybe not so much. Billy Graham said this, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one has even bothered to ask. I don't want to leave any good asks on the table. And ask big. It's okay. It's okay to ask big. God, if you'll use me this way, I'd like to see this happen. God, if you'll open the way, wouldn't this be amazing? And as you begin to, by your faith, step out and ask for things that are too big for you, God can honor that faith and he can do really mighty things in your life. So let's back up and review. First is what? You go to prayer and you what? Adore God. Then you submit to God. Then you, okay, ask him for stuff. And the next is confession. Whoops, there we go. Confession. See, this is where a lot of us spend a lot of our time in prayer. But here's what it says. Say it together. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. That's confession. God, this is what I did. This is what I did wrong. This is why, actually, this particular part is why I tend to pray in the morning versus the night. You follow me, right? In the morning, I haven't done anything bad yet. At least I don't think I have. And so it's a little bit nicer prayer time and adoring of God than getting to the end and going, oh gosh, I'm going to be here for 3 hours with everything I messed up with today. But confession is okay and it's necessary. Not only to confess the things that we have fallen short in, but also to work through the people that we have to forgive that have fallen short with us. It's not in the Lord's Prayer, but the very next verse after Jesus gave us this Lord's Prayer, it said, and by the way, if you don't forgive people the sins that they've forgiven against, or they've committed against you, I'm not going to forgive you when you ask me for forgiveness. And we go, really? Because how do we understand grace and mercy if we do not give grace and mercy? And that's his whole point. In Matthew 16, he gives us a whole scenario about how that doesn't work. That we can't beg God for forgiveness and then turn right around and not give the same forgiveness we just received. That we have to forgive also. And so we confess. Now, when we're confessing, it's important to follow a couple of guidelines. I'm going to give you a couple here. Number one, be specific. Okay? It's kind of like doing laundry. Well, now we've got a kind of a cool machine and we don't have to separate our laundry. But back in the day, you had to separate the delicates from the jeans, from the towels, from the darks, from the lights. You can't throw them all in and go, laundry's done, see ya. You can't just take all your stuff and go, here you go, God, here's all my stuff, see ya. That God actually wants us to stop doing those things. That's called repentance. And so it's good to be specific so that you don't just treat it lightly. Say, God, today I lied. And I know that didn't honor you. Actually, God, I think I'm kind of in a habit of lying, which makes me a liar. I don't want to be that kind of a person. It doesn't honor you. You're not pleased with that. So, Lord, I confess that I did that today. And I need your help. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Forgive me. And you know what God does? He goes, forgiven, right then and there. Because the Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So upon that confession, you are cleansed. So don't let the devil beat you up with, well, you better beg a little bit more because he was really mad because of what you did. God's not mad at you. He says as soon as you confess, he separates your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. It's done. So get up and move on without guilt. But I've done it every day for the last 6 months. His grace is still sufficient, even if it's repetitive. So be specific. Number two, then admit that God alone has the power to help you overcome. Okay, it's not you, it's not your effort and God. Now, of course, there is, you know, work for you to do, but you can't free yourself from your sin condition. It's not possible. That's why the cross was necessary, because without the cross, we're all stuck. So acknowledge that God is the lone source. God, you're the only one. And I need you every moment. I need you every day. I need you to help with my thinking, with my mouth, with my attitude. God, you're the one I need. Let him be the focus. And then you're honoring him as the one who truly releases you. Be determined and plan your efforts to repent. I want to spend a little more time on this because we all need it. This isn't really prayer at this moment, but it's the attitude you come to prayer with. God, I'm not just going to say forgive you so that you can get out your big eraser and wipe away my sin. I really, really don't want to do this anymore. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. We have a 12-step program that meets here on Monday night. It helps people with alcoholism and drug addiction. And if you were to ever look down there 12 steps, these are some of those steps. You have to, step number one is you have to realize you're powerless over the issue. And number two, that there's a God and he's the only one that can help you. No wonder people get free when they follow principles like that. It's powerful and it's true. And the last one, confess to one another for accountability. James chapter 5, confess your sin one to another. Now, I know this is not about prayer, but if we want, truly want to stop having to come to God all the time with the repetitive prayers of confession, then these are things that we need to put into practice to help us. Confess your sin one to another. That doesn't mean confess your sin to anybody and everybody. Okay, it means people that you have a good, trusting, confidential relationship with. Okay, let's jump off of that. Last one, thanksgiving. Let's back up. First thing you do, according to Jesus' prayer, is what? Adore God. Start with worship. Then worship puts us in an attitude in which we can what? Submit to Him. When we submitted to Him, then we're cleared to ask Him for our stuff. When we ask Him for stuff, we go then to confession, get our heart clean, and then we finish with thanksgiving. Let's say the words. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. They say, Pastor, it doesn't say be thankful right there. Well, I just read another scripture from Philippians that said be thankful in all of our prayers. When I read this, I'm saying, God, I am thankful. You're in charge and I'm not in charge. You're in charge and no government is in charge. No king is in charge. No president is in charge. No Senate, no Congress. You're the one in charge. Your kingdom. It's your kingdom, your power, your glory, and I am so glad that you're my God. And we finished with thankfulness. That helps us to get into our day, right? Man, I'm ready to go. God is big, and it's His will that will be done today. I put my request before Him, and I know that He's working in my life. Oh, man, and I'm free of sin. I can start this day with a new slate. I don't have to be guilty. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to look over my shoulder because God has forgiven me of everything. Man, I'm thankful for that, Lord. That's the way I want to go into my day. Amen? And that's the way Jesus taught us to pray. When we're thankful. Or rather, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks always. Express thanks as a regular part, not only of your prayer, but of your day. You can thank Him for answered prayer. That's why I keep the journal. Whoa, goodness. That's why I keep my journal. So I can always see the answered prayer and thank Him for them. You can thank Him for His presence. That'll keep you in a pray without ceasing attitude. Wherever you are, thank Him that He's with you. You don't have to feel Him to thank you. That's the step of faith. Thank Him always. Thank Him for the people in your life. I thank God for you all the time. Thank God for my family, the people that are close to me, you, people that I meet, being thankful for one another. It's an easy way to honor God. Thank Him for your material blessings. We have homes. We have vehicles. We have clothing. We have this great building that we get to worship in. Man, I'll take you on a missions trip sometimes. I guarantee you, you'll be way more thankful for what we have than some of these other places. And it amazes me sometimes the worship that comes up from people's hearts that don't have, you know, a fingernail like we have, but they're still thankful. We got a lot to be thankful for. We can even thank Him for the hard times. That's like not 101 thankfulness. That may be like 401 thankfulness. But you'll get there when you can even go through hard stuff and say, God, I'm still thankful because you're God. And as you develop your prayer life, these are the things that can come out of you. So when we go to God, make your plan. I know this is basic stuff today, but here, you know what? I needed this today. I needed it because I sometimes get off track. Even in my normal prayer life, I find myself getting one-sided, getting selfish, getting distracted, getting casual. And I need to go back to the basics. Say, wait a minute, God, this is the creator of the universe I'm talking to. I need you. I need you. And I don't want to be casual in my prayer life. I don't want to treat you like you're just some, you know, acquaintance. I want to know you intimately. I want to know you richly and deeply. And I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you talking to me. And I know you're going to transform my life. You're going to use me. And that life can really change when we commit these things to prayer. He said us that. He told us that. CJ quoted that this morning. If my people will pray, I will change the world. If. if we pray. Now, this is just a model. It's not to be some legalistic thing. If you somehow, you know, start with confession and then work your way to adoration, God's not going to go, you're out of order. You put four before one. I'm not listening. It's a pattern. We get that, right? But these are the components that are necessary. And I do believe that Jesus did give us this prayer this way because there is a natural flow in our spirit. That if we move from worship, it brings us to submission. It puts us in the right place to ask. It brings us to that humbleness to confess. And then it allows us to thank Him for His mercy and grace. There's a pattern. And I think God designed things that way. He's pretty smart, this God of ours. Let's thank Him this morning for what He's done. Let's thank Him on this first Sunday of the month with taking the communion together. Here's what I know. I'm the worst of sinners. And I'm so thankful that God went to the cross for me. Because He went to the cross for me, I have the awesome privilege of talking to Him every day. Not only every day, every moment of my day, if I had the faith and the awareness to do so. I need Him every moment. If I don't have God, my life is a mess. If I don't have communion with Him, I'm confused. I am frustrated. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to make good decisions. I'm callous and ugly in spirit, angry and vindictive. And it's because of Jesus' work on the cross that now we can be free and washed and transformed into people that are new creations, not that old, ugly thing. I can go to God every day, meet with Him, be touched by Him. It's an awesome thing to be in a relationship with God. As we share the communion elements today, I'd like to invite you, in a spirit of thankfulness, just to honor Him. Go ahead, guys, you can come on forward, unless you're serving from the back. But let's take a moment or two to thank Him. And to appreciate what God has done for us. Let's just adore Him for a while. We won't ask Him for anything this morning. Let's just adore Him. And bring to mind all the gifts that He's given to us. Let's say thank you to our Lord and Savior. As the ushers are serving you your elements, just shift into that mindset, would you? Of being thankful and honor our Lord. Go ahead, guys. Father, we love You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You that You have opened the way for us to have a real relationship with You. We use that word, relationship, a lot. I know some struggle with understanding what that means, but You mean it just like it says. To have a real face-to-face God to us, friendship. You said You called us Your friends. And You went further and You called us Your sons, daughters. God, we can't thank You enough for what You have done for us. Even if we go through hard times, those hardships cannot rival the grace that You have poured out and the mercy that You have poured out for us. God, I know whenever I go through a hard time, all I need do is look to the cross and my hard time pales in comparison. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for shedding Your blood. Thank You for giving us Your life. All because You want us near You. pray today, Lord, as a result, that we would be changed people and desire to pray, to make time, make a plan, to pray, to seek you. Even if we're not quite sure how to do it, we can start. You gave us your pattern. We can start to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The bread we hold in our hand is it's a model, it's a representation given to us by God. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." I mean, it's a cracker. But he said, this is my body. Not literally, but it's broken and it's given to you. Ingest it. Take me in. Let me be part of you. Jesus wanted that with the disciples, and he wants that with us. And he said, do this when you remember me. I am so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're lost. With him, we're found. With him, we have all good things. With him, we have eternal life. His broken body has provided all of that. On the night he was betrayed, he broke bread. He gave it to the disciples and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take it, eat it in remembrance of me. Let's thank God as we take the bread and remembering what he's did for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. After the supper, he took the cup. He said, this is the blood of my new covenant. Drink it when you remember me. The blood of the new covenant is what washed us from our sin. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You don't need to feel guilty today. You don't need to feel ashamed today. You don't need to worry that God is angry. Jesus Christ took his anger and crucified it on the cross. Jesus Christ took your shame and crucified it on the cross. He took your guilt and he crucified it on the cross. Therefore, we can thank him. Let's remember what he has done and thank him for his shed blood and for our cleansing. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we stand cleansed today because of your blood. We give you the glory. We give you the glory, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.